I've said, but need to be said anyway. If anything I just said got under your skin and it bothered you, and what I'm teaching, I only got 21 minutes. So what we've been teaching on is being kind one to another, and relationships. And I'll tell you, like never before, God's made me live what I preach. Most of the time, that's true. Whatever it is, usually it won't be long, and I'll be going through that. But this one, I'm telling you, I've been on this. I think this is the fourth time I've taught, and buddy, I am living this, and I am being tested with this, with relationships in my own family, on my own marriage, with my children, and with people in the church and people outside the church. God, and listen, but listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so faith that's worth having is worth being tested. Amen. And so it's easy to hear something and get ticked off and mad and just say la, 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 and go off and talk about somebody, or go off and demean this one or that one, or the church or the preacher or the teacher. But what we're going to close with tonight goes right in the face of that. And what God is teaching us, if we want to be better than, stronger than, I hope you want to be a better husband. I do. I know there's room for improvement. And all God's ladies said, amen. Yeah, couldn't your husband improve with his communication with you? Miss Jennifer back there with a broke finger from beating Jeff half to death. No, I'm just kidding. but all of our marriages could be strongly improved if we could better communicate. Our relationships with our children, our relationship in our church, on the job, anywhere. And if we, this is something you know is true. If we do it God's way, if we are willing to listen and learn what God said in His Word of how we should do something, instead of just doing it how we've always done it, I promise you, you know this, God's way is the best way. Wouldn't you agree to that? And so we're going to look, I'm not going to go back and reteach, because we're going to get out of this tonight. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Now, as I said, we're teaching on be kind one to another. Take your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 25. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 25. What we've already covered while you're finding your text, we look first of all at the conflict with kindness. Conflict of anger, and my, we dealt with that a whole service. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The conflict with anger. The corruption of a testimony. And then, secondly, not only the conflict with kindness, but the communication of kindness. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, and then finish off with not only the conflict with kindness and the communication of kindness, but the characteristics of kindness. And so we'll pick up there tonight. I believe we got through the conflict with kindness and the communication, started the communication of kindness. I don't think we finished that. So under the heading of the communication of kindness, before we communicate kindness, it is useful to first understand what kindness is. Verse 29 of our text instructs us to communicate that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So, with that said, let me read where you are. If Everybody in Ephesians 4, 25, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. But let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, the communication of kindness. I believe I did cover this page because I remember reading that quote from Spurgeon where he said, no matter what good truths you teach or have to teach, no one will ever thank you if you don't do it, speaking kindly while you teach or preach. And that's so true. The word minister in verse 29 means to give one's own, to give of one's own accord, to bestow a gift, to supply. And the word grace refers to goodwill and loving kindness. So what does kindness look like in our communication? Well, number one, it's not corrupt. You don't have, when we're thinking about kindness and the communication of kindness, it ain't corrupt. It shouldn't be done through false pretense. It ought to be pure. It ought not be corrupt. Amen. When we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, it almost always, when we dealt with this last week, comes out of our mouths. And so it ought not be corrupt. Then, not only should it not be corrupt, but number two, in face of that, in light of the fact that it shouldn't be corrupt, it should be edifying. Our kindness toward one another, by definition, kindness should edify. It should lift up, not tear down. And so our words should be good for others, uplifting and encouraging them. God instructs us to use our speech for edifying, which means to build up or strengthen. Edification is something every person needs, and we can all benefit from a kind word every now and then. And ain't none of you too big and bad that ain't true for. We all have bad days. We all have down days. That a kind word, timely spoken, I'm telling you, I've been down before, so down, ready to quit. I mean ready to resign and just say, what's it worth? Just for somebody, God to send somebody along my way and show kindness to me and speak kindly to me, even when I didn't deserve it. Especially when I didn't deserve it. And they be kind to me and show me the heart and the mind and the words of Christ, which is what it is, because it's edifying. And so, if you think back on those times in your life, my, how we ought to give that gift to others, if you'll remember how it helped you. The best example of, speaking of Jesus, the best example of ministering grace in his speech was none other than the Lord Jesus himself. Listen to Luke chapter 4, verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this the son of Joseph? Is not this Joseph's son? He was speaking in such a way, they seen him like the carpenter boy. They seen him as just the young working man, and now he's standing there and he's speaking in such gracious, kind words that it amazed them and astonished them. I truly believe on the job side or out in the community or out in the world or even at church, it would amaze some people if we'd learn to be, on purpose, be gracious in our speech. Be kind. Because it don't just roll out haphazardly. If you're going to be gracious and speak and edify, you're going to have to purpose in your heart, I'm going to speak this way. Because everything in us don't work that way. Our flesh hates that. Our flesh wants to snap and tell them, you know what I think about it? You want a piece of my mind? But that ain't the right way. And so let us seek to follow Christ's example and speak with kind, wise, truthful, and encouraging words that will minister grace to other people. The challenge for us comes in responding with edifying words when someone does something that would usually, go back to where we started, provoke us to anger. Now, I just give out a challenge to all of us to let's on purpose speak kindly to one another and graciously one with another. And I heard a few amens, but I mean that ain't asking a whole lot for us to say, I'm gonna try to do that. Matter of fact, I'm gonna put you to the test. How many people's gonna try this week in your marriage, in your home, with your friends and with your family, with your co-workers and those that you're going to try with Jesus in mind to be more gracious with your speech, more kind with your speech? How many people try? We'll try to do that. Don't lie. Don't make a vow that you're going to break. But you at least try it. Now, it goes a step deeper. Because that ain't that hard, really. Oh, Hal said to tell you, hey, Brother Jeff, boy you used to work with, yeah. He spoke very kindly of you. Now, that's one thing. When things are going good, it's just a normal, natural day, not much going on, it ain't that hard to speak kindly one to another if things are going pretty good. I can tell my wife, hey, babe, you're the hottest thing on planet Earth. I love you. I can tell her that. But when she's trying to claw my eyeballs out and squealing and pitching a fit and mad and foaming at the mouth and all, I exaggerate. The first words that come to my lips ain't, hey, babe, you're hot. I love you. It's, you crazy. Get out my face. Back up, woman. That's what I want to say. Like, where did you come from? It ain't the same when things are good to when they're bad. And that's where we are truly tested. And you all know I'm telling the truth. Amen. All I asked you to do first was just let's improve when it's good. Let's just try to be more kind and gracious with our speech because it'll brighten people. We're talking about edifying people. We're talking about being kind to people. We're talking about trying to show the world and to train and teach our children that loving Jesus is more than just something that we say. It's something that we are and do, and we show that by how we talk. And what does our kids think of us when we get to church and we raise our hand and we say, oh, we Christians, and then we go home and talk to each other like a dog? That's training them the wrong way. Amen. And Lord, forgive me, and Lord, help me. But I'm saying, we ought to make it a point to do our best to be gracious with our words and show kindness with our words when it's good. But it don't always stay good. And that's when it's hardest. But thank God. Hey, remember what Jesus did when they had crucified him? Remember? I mean, they had plucked his beard, split his side, nailed him to a tree. And he was saying, not Father, throw them in hell. Throw them in the deepest part of hell. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Boy, I'm telling you, that's when it's at the worst, and yet he still found a kind, gracious way to communicate. And so it gets challenging. It ain't easy. You think that, it ain't easy. God instructs us to respond with edifying words rather than responding with anger. Like, for example, we know the phrase, like I said a minute, to give someone a piece of our mind. But what if instead of giving them a piece of our mind, we gave them words of grace? They would notice that. On the job, when they have ticked you off and messed up a job, it's going to cost you money, fill in the blank. And rather than giving them a piece of your mind, you say, and you just be loving and gracious and kind to them. That ain't easy. But that's what separates, and that's what begins to show the world we are different. We ain't just like them. We don't just talk a cheap talk. We walk a real genuine walk. It would be, what would happen if you went to your unfair boss after a rough day and said, "Thanks for all you do around here," after he just chewed you out? Well, he probably had never heard that before. What would happen if when you did not make the sports team, you went to the coach and offered, "Hey, since I didn't make the team, can I keep the stats? Can I keep the score? Can I be the water boy? I don't know. And ain't none of us trying out for no teams at the age we are." I remember getting cut the first time I tried out for basketball in junior high school. I got cut, and it cut me to the heart. I said, "Man, what kind of this is awful." And so I worked hard, and I made the team the next year. And that was 8th grade, 9th grade. Well, then I went to Broome, and that's when you mix with all them wicked people from across the river, from Cowpen. No, I'm just kidding. But you really, your school size just doubles or more than doubles. You get all these people at Broome. And I said, I ain't even going to go out for the basketball team. I mean, all these big, tall, black dudes, they could jump over me. And, you know, but I did. I went out for it. And I wasn't as good as them. I wasn't. But I said, "I'll be John Brennan. I'm going to run laps around. I'm going to work harder than them. Coach Tony was my coach. He's this big and he loved to see somebody get on the ground and fight for a basketball. I mean, dive in head first. And so first day we started running, he said, "Y'all run laps. I'm going to drink coffee. I'll be just running till I get back." Well, I was lapping the whole, and they was looking at me crazy. I was lapping. I was full stride, buddy, just lapping. And he come back in. He was peeking. And it was about 30 minutes later, he come back in. He said, "Y'all run for about another 30 minutes, just laps." And I did everything I could. I got bruised up, cut up. And then it come time to, they had the basketballs in five places at the three-point line. And this was the last day before they made the cut. And the whole team and the coaches were standing there watching. And I start over in the corner. And that was the year Chicago Bulls won one of their championships. When everybody thought Michael Jordan was going to hit the game winner at the buzzer because it was a game buzzer shot. They was close. And Jordan went up, and everybody went to Jordan, and he passed it to John Paxton. And John Paxton, wide open, shot the three and won the championship. And so here I am, and I missed my first shot. You got 25 three-point shots. I missed the first one. I make the second, the third, the fourth, and then everybody starts looking. And then them boys, they start hollering, "Go Paxton!" Even the black boy, "Go Paxton, go Paxton." So, boy, I done caught a flame, and I hit 24 in a row, three-pointers. And the black boys was giving me a hand, and it was awesome. I never could do it again in my life, but I did it. So the next morning at school, they said, we'll post the names of the team up when you walk in right there at the front of the school. And everybody rushed there. And I looked up there, and I had to wait for them big tall boys to move because I couldn't see over them. And they were shaking their head, walking off mad. I can't believe I got cut, man. I can't believe I got cut. I can dunk. Just mad. I ain't heard one say, and he made it? This little white cracker made it. I did. My phone's talking. Who am I? Oh, I'm calling somebody. Y'all know what that's called. Not, anyway, my point in saying that was them same boys the day before who was clapping for me and saying, go Paxton, go Paxton. They literally wanted to fight me because I made a team and they got cut. And I want to say you should have tried harder, but I didn't. I made myself be invisible, if you know what I mean. I wasn't about to get jumped by about 10 or 15 of them. They was mad as they could be. But I went back to them later, one at a time, and said, hey, man, you remember when I was running laps around you? And you was making fun, saying, oh, look how stupid. I said, listen, I just tried my best. And I saw in Coach Tony's eyes that he loved somebody to get on the ground and fight. So I'd leave that place all cut up. I said, it ain't that I'm better than you. Matter of fact, you better than me. But I ain't the coach. And I couldn't cut you. I couldn't cut me. I said, but it happened for a reason. And I tried to every one of them to make peace with them. I was a Christian. I was leading prayer. Before the basketball team, I was having Bible study at Broome High School, known as a preacher, known as a Christian. So what would it look like on me as a Christian and a testimony for me to treat them boys and knock them boys down? It wasn't right. It wasn't the right way to act. And it's the same with us. Lord, help us all when we hit a rough spell or have a hard time that we do the right thing in our speech and just show kindness and be gracious. What would happen if you were wrote a thank you letter to a teacher who had given you a bad grade? I'm just saying there's a plethora of things we can do to show how gracious we can be and how kind we can be to others. We're not called to be gracious. We're called to be gracious, not grievous. When we were saved, we were already sealed by the Holy Spirit who will never leave us. However, it is possible for us to grieve the Holy Spirit. When we speak unkind words one to another, it not only grieves the recipient who we speak it to, but it grieves the Holy Spirit as well. A rattlesnake, if cornered, will sometimes become so angry that it will bite itself. I didn't know that. Infusing itself with its own poison. This is the... And in so doing, die by its own poison. And that's exactly what we do when we allow hate and resentment to harbor in our lives, and it fills us with the same kind of poison that a mad rattlesnake does by biting himself. Then finally, in closing, the characteristics of kindness, Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Kindness is gentle. The Bible says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity boneth not itself, it is not puffed up. Titus 3:2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. I know what time it is, but I'm going to read this very short ending. William Ward once said, "Flatter me." I want you to get this. Please get this before we leave. flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will never forget you. That's so true. So true. Our relationships are characterized by our kindness toward one another. So kindness is gentle, and finally, kindness is compassionate. In verse 32, the word tenderhearted, which means having strong inward compassion, sympathetic, is easy to get irritable with people, but it is Christ-like to be compassionate toward them. Matthew chapter 18, verse 27, then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. You remember that man who, I ain't got time to deal with it, go read it, Matthew chapter 18. Then finally, the last verse, Hebrews 10:34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Kindness is gentle and compassionate. When we communicate it in our everyday lives, we reflect the love and sympathy of God. As Christians, let us seek to be ministers of grace and communicate in kindness to those around us. And I say amen to that. Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand together.